When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. There is an incredible facility right here in downtown Toronto that is helping on the front lines and is doing incredible innovative research. They are a facility that treats everybody with dignity, and they need your help. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. If this matters to you, help CAMH. There's no better place for your resources. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand. And donate now. Help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand.
So how's the plague treating you?
It's an absolutely surreal experience.
Is it?
I mean, it's banal most of the time, and then there's just moments where every day I'm like, this is happening.
Yeah. Like, we went to the market last night because we live in Outremont, and we went up to P&A on Park. Because they have cheap meat. And we walked through a minion. So all these Hasids, bobbing around, praying in the alleys and on the street because they closed all the synagogues. They're all singing and praying for about two blocks. We just walked through that. That was maybe the only kind of surreal part we've had recently.
Minions in the streets. Were they social distancing?
No. Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
The Hasids do not. They live by their own rules, I think.
Yeah.
So we saw lots of groups.
There's a rabbi who I think is trying to do good work in Montreal to spread the message I was reading about.
Yeah, no, I read about him as well. He's like trying to get stuff in the language. He's posting signs everywhere. You see the signs, but regular people are not listening to
him.
I mean, how do you sell social distancing to someone with like eight kids in a 3.5?
I can't help notice you got a cough there. How you feeling?
It's seasonal. I was worried it was something, but I could still kind of smell things.
Yeah.
So I could smell when the cat poops.
All right, then you can stay.
Yeah, this is not. It's not a social time to have a cough. I will not go out during the day because it's just. The looks you get, forget it.
Yeah. That's kind of an ugly part of this. For all the things that are nice about how it's bringing people together, like as soon as you hear a cough, just people, it's like, get the hell away from me. And people are not very accommodating.
Oh, people are such snitches. It's like they were looking for a chance to be snitches. You know? it's like all these people, they were looking for the right cause. Like they seem an outsider and we're all lefty and progressive and stuff, but they give them the right chance and a little crypto fascist narking on people.
Where are you, Robert? And what do your surroundings look like?
I am in my home office. I work primarily from home. We chose this place because it had this office in it. I'm a social distancer just naturally, and I just cannot handle the idea of people on top of me. So this place is gigantic, and it's set up so that each of us has our own space, and they're all spread out far enough that if we're all doing whatever we want, we have no idea the other person is there. So it's kind of like that. Like right now, my wife and stepdaughter are, I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea. I can't hear them. It's great. So that's my immediate surroundings.
What's the most abnormal thing that you've done today?
Today, woke up at 11, It's the joy of having the total collapse of my European sales and all of my overseas business has allowed me to sleep in.
I never thought of you as a glass half full kind of guy, but there you go.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm an endless optimist. Mm-hmm. So we lost $75,000 in refunds in a week, 100% of our European sales. And now I get to sleep in as late as I want. I can sleep until 1.
What has been your most selfish deed or thought during this ordeal?
I can make money off this, I think. If I which is terrible. I mean, I don't mean like profiteering. I mean like, oh, I have a business idea that would work and be perfect for this. And now that I have all this free time, why not? So I've actually got meetings today with people to set something up.
Is it, I guess you don't want to share your capitalizing on?
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's online tutoring. So we hire Ontario certified teachers, of which there are a lot. And we get them to teach the last 3 months of the curriculum online, math, science, history, 2 hours for each subject each week so that the students are studying 3 days a week part-time. It makes it a lot easier for you as a parent to get your kids to study because we've got a 14-year-old here and it is absolute agony to force her to read a book or to force her to do math that we don't even understand. And so the idea was that we set up a tutoring service and it would be for like kids like her and lazy parents like us who don't want to do home schooling. And because, you know, we did all the stuff to make sure that she would, you know, get into the 80s and 90s and on the honor roll. And then she's going to lose these last few months and then start next year behind again. Mm-hmm.
Your most selfish deed sounds like a service that I'll probably be asking you about later. Name something that gave you pleasure today.
Virtual reality. I have been obsessed with virtual reality. So shooting zombies from a helicopter gave me immense pleasure.
You know, I know that there's like a bunch of products on the market, but I don't hear a lot of people talking about how great it is. Like I haven't really tried out the newest stuff myself. Is it good?
Oh, okay. I got an Oculus Go right when this started, right when Amazon was still delivering. And it is, you have to hunt for games, but I wish it would have Call of Duty, but it has good stuff in there. It's got some good like space games and it's got a lot of like good 360 fully immersive things. My wife uses it to like sit on a beach because it's got a 3D beach with like waves and it feels like you're there. And then my stepdaughter uses it for creepy horror stuff. So they do stuff where like it feels like you're falling off a building or it like does like contact therapy to get you over your fear of spiders or snakes or something. It's really, really, really immersive and cool. And like it's much improved over the last like 3 years.
I could see that taking a huge leap in popularity throughout the isolation.
Well, yeah. So my wife was having a stress attack from this because like she's way more social than I am and she has to go out all the time. So what I did is I found like a group on there where they were playing Cards Against Humanity. And I just sat her down, put it on, and she was just like into the game instantly and talking to like people who sounded just like her. And it like totally like chilled her out and calmed her down and got her like, you know, centered again.
Robert, what is something that you think might never be the same after this is done?
I mean, you know, like when the last election and the NDP came up really close and everyone's like, oh my God, that's great. The Liberals are going to have to work with them and it's going to be so progressive and stuff. I feel like a lot of people are saying the kind of same thing about this. Like, my God, look at these huge programs they're doing. They're going to have to bring in a UBI, a universal basic income after this. They're going to have to do this. They're going to have to do that. They're not going to have to do anything. With this whole thing, all of this, what's going to come after is an excuse to not do anything. So what's going to be different after? I don't know. We're going to be back in the 90s after. We're going to be back in the harshest form of Kretschian-esque austerity after this. And this, they're going to point at it and say, well, what do you expect? We had to spend $100 billion all at once. Of course, you're not going to get a pharmacare plan now. Of course, we can't do clean water anymore. Of course, we can't remove the 2% cap on funding, of course, blah, 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 blah. So I think that's kind of what I'm expecting, is just sort of like a roll back in time. All of the stuff you're hoping for is not going to happen now. I think that's the change.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most likely, it's the most Canadian outcome.
Yeah, it runs contrary to, I think, what a lot of people are hoping. What do you think about the feeling that people are having that it's not just a question of policy, it's that this has sort of awakened a new sense of helping and community, and it'll just force in a psychological way people say, like, well, what if we always cared about everybody's well-being, and that there's no going back from compassion once you flip that switch?
I don't know, but I read the Italian papers. I speak Italian because I used to live there and stuff. And that sense of community disappeared a little while ago. I think it disappeared when the army convoys of bodies were going down the street. I don't know how much of a community we're going to be when they're taking bodies down the street. We're at a stage now where it's low risk, it's low impact. You can bring your kids out onto the balcony. They're not seeing anything scary. But when they're starting to bring old people, dead old people out of the buildings across the street, I don't know how much you're going to want to engage with other people, or how much you're just going to want to lock down by yourself and totally distract and totally disengage. So I don't know how much that helping spirit is going to last in cities. I could see small towns for sure. Like, I've heard about, like, someone's telling me about Harrison Hot Springs, which is like a resort town in Metro Vancouver, and everybody in the community got together and put up a barricade and kicked out all the tourists. That's the kind of community that I see a lot of. And like on all the reses, everybody got together, set up barricades and kicked everybody out. That kind of get together in the small towns, that's going to persist. I mean, you saw that during the Spanish flu, that kind of thing happened. But for like us neighbors getting together and sitting across the balcony, that is going to last until you see the first body bag coming out of those buildings. And this is a hot spot, so that's a week from now or 2 weeks from now. I mean, there's 3,000 cases in the city. So it's just, it's inevitable.